spiritual trouble, which is worse than any physical trouble. Physical things happen in your life. They've already happened spiritually. Spiritual things happen first, and then they manifest in the physical realm. So where is the spiritual part of a man? It's say his heart, his mind. Amen? So that's why the Bible says we need to renew our minds. We need to get the old ways of thinking out and get the new way, which is God's way, in our mind. And then we let the knowledge of the Lord lead and guide us. Amen? We let the truth say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? It's powerful. It makes you. It doesn't set you. It literally makes you free, because the truth is more powerful than anything the devil's lies can come up with. So I handed out handouts from last week into this week, and I honestly don't exactly remember where we left off, but I know where we're going to start. We're going to start in Acts chapter 19. We've already went over many of these things and much of these things, and you're going to have to bear with me today, because I usually mark my Bible for every verse, but I didn't have time this morning. And normally I do that in my office and get right before. But anyway, Acts 19. Did I say Acts or Mark? Good. Acts 19. I'm going to talk to you about unclean spirits. There are categories in the realm of spiritual things. There's angels, right? They're good, right? Well, as long as they're angels of God. Angels of God are good. But a fallen angel becomes a devil. But they're still have a category of angels. That's why you'll read in Revelation chapter 12, it says Michael and his angels fought with the devil and his angels. Just because it's an angel doesn't mean he's a good guy. But God tells you, once a angel falls and sins, that sin consumes them and they become evil eternally. So therefore they become devils. And isn't that something, that you think something so holy and pure and good as an angel of the Lord could all of a sudden become a devil like that? Do you ever think of that? How an angel of God could instantly and that fast become a devil? Well, I've seen humans like that. I've seen people one minute, they're like, oh, you're so good. Next minute, you're like, what in the world happened to them? So you have to realize it's because of a spiritual thing. There are devils out there, and there's angels out there. And there's only one defense that we have against them, and that's our Lord God. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. He that's in you is greater, much greater than he that's in the world. So how do you protect yourself from these things? Stay close to Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. Amen? God puts a hedge of protection around his own. God put angels around to guard you. Amen? There's all things about that. But let's pick it up where we talked about unclean spirits. And I said this before. You can tell when someone has an unclean spirit. Gave you the scriptures. They get angry a lot. They yell and they scream. And like they go off the handle. Do you ever see someone just flip out and go off the handle for no reason? You're like, what is wrong with them? They have an unclean spirit. And that spirit does that. And they also, not only do they yell and scream and are angry and have hatred, but they like to pierce themselves through. More and more people, when I grew up, there was none of that stuff. When I grew up, some bikers would have an earring in their ear. But nobody else did. And then guys started doing that. I never got into that, nor do I want to. But nowadays, they're piercing every part of their body and their faces, and it's gross looking. There's not even any devils hiding today. They're out just showing themselves. But anyway, cutting themselves and piercing themselves and taking their clothes off, lighting to show more flesh, that is an unclean spirit. It's a characteristic of. Would you rather have characteristics of God or characteristics of the devil? Of course, you say that, but you have to judge yourself and look and say, what are my characteristics right now? What am I really showing? Who's running my life? Is it the devil or is it God? And you need to be able to understand that every once in a while you can be lulled, you can be tempted, you can be used by the devil. And what do you do if you're a child of God and the devil's tempting you and messing with you? You run from them. You turn from him. Get behind me, not in front of me, and you run back to Jesus. Amen? So anyway, here we have Acts chapter 19, But before I get into that, we read Mark 16:9. You see that in your scripture, in your things, and Luke 8:12 is about seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. I don't know if we read that. Did we read that last week? Mary Magdalene, how many people know who that is? You know who that is? She was a really wonderful lady, wasn't she? She was an awesome, awesome saint of God, isn't she? She loved Jesus so very much that in his resurrection, Brother John, Jesus did something to me so it blows my mind what he did. Because he was praying, and when he resurrected, he had a job to do, and his job was a high priest of God. And he had to offer and take his blood into heaven where no one else could go and offer his blood on the mercy seat for all mankind. And if any woman or anybody would have touched him, it would have defiled that. So for him to resurrect and Mary Magdalene is crying and weeping at his gravesite, and he stops for a moment just to see her and just to say hi, Mary. And she says, Rabboni, and she goes to touch him. He says, touch me not, Mary, for I am not yet ascended into heaven. That takes part of all the Old Testament doctrine on the high priest. And Jesus is indeed our high priest in heaven. He's prophet on earth, high priest right now in heaven, and he's coming back as King of Kings. Amen? And he is all these things. But for him to stop Mary, why? Because Mary loved him with all her heart. And it says in the Bible that she was possessed with seven devils. Now, I don't know if it was exactly seven or seven was used as complete. I don't know, but either way, it was bad. She was in bad shape, amen? So you can just think of what kind of person Mary was, and then Jesus cast those devils out of her, and she became one of the greatest followers of Jesus of all. Why? Because she loved him with all her heart. And just remember that, just because someone has a devil, or just because someone's wicked as sin, does not mean that there's not hope for them, because in Christ there's so much hope. He can change everything around. Now, with that said, Acts chapter 19, look with me, if you would, in verse 13. And here we have a little story. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. Now, vagabond's an interesting word. It means people that don't have a home. It means that people don't have a place. It doesn't mean they're homeless. No. It means that they don't stay in one place too long. You know, they're vagabonds. They're Christians all the time. They go to one church and they go to another church. You need to get a home. You need to have a place to stay, a place to grow, a place to be. Because what happens is you become vagabond and you don't really set roots down anywhere. And you start to become just on your own. And that's what these were. They were vagabond Jews on their own, doing their own thing, Joe. Doing what they wanted to, not having a real leadership over them. And it says, certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. Now this is a priest of that certain synagogue, not a priest in Jerusalem. It says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I want you to think about this. Don't take upon yourself that you think that you're more powerful than evil spirits. Don't take upon yourself, like I've seen so many people, that they aren't following Jesus really. They're not living for God. They do what they kind of want to do, and they have their own doctrines, and they have their own belief system, and yet they'll say, in the name of Jesus, I'm casting out devils, and I'm doing this. And that's what I call a vagabond. You know why? Because they don't have an authority over them. They are their own authority. You ever meet someone like that? You talk to them, right, Joe? And they are, well, I think this, and I believe this. And you're like, but that isn't doctrinally sound, and that isn't what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have a head, which is always Jesus, and the Bible is our authority over us. Amen? And you have pastors and teachers, and you have people in authority over you. If you don't want to be under that authority, then you're going to just rebel and go against it. Well, here, the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. We'll listen to them, but who are you? That's scary. If you want to go fist fight with a devil, and you want to go fight an evil, unclean spirit, you better let Jesus do your fighting. In the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. The devil said, we know Jesus. Oh yeah, we know him. And we know Paul. He's a powerful man of God. But who are you? And I just want you to think about that. Who are we to go toe-to-toe with devils? Who do you think you are, really? In all reality, even Michael the archangel, when he was confronted with the devil and the devil started to give him a hassle, him over the bones of Moses, he didn't dare even say a railing accusation against the devil. He just said, "The Lord rebukes you, devil. I'm sent by God doing God's work, and it's God's power and authority over every evil and unclean spirit, and they have got to obey." But when you get prideful and you think, "I'm going to get this, and Jesus, get behind me, devil," those devils are laughing at you. So let's keep reading. Verse 16. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known in all the to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified." That is the reason, please listen to me, that is the reason we do spiritual battles, is that the name of Jesus would be magnified. The reason we pray over people and what we would do to get healing for them has nothing to do with you. Remember that. So that the name of Jesus would be magnified. That all the world would know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So with that said, I want you to think about the being a vagabond, just having no real church home. You need to have a church home. You need to be planted so you can have the power of God. Turn with me, if you would, in Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13, 6 through 10. It says, "And when they had gone through the isles of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." That makes you prudent, if you want to hear the word of God. "But Amelius, the sorcerer," for so his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." That is what the devils want to do. They want to turn somebody away from the faith. There's only one faith, everybody. One Lord, one God, one Savior, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. Do you understand? It's one, and Jesus is that. But it says that what does an unclean spirit want to do? What do devils want to do? Turn you away from the faith. Are you going to let them win? Are you going to let them? Do you know what they want to do? They want to turn. So what does God want you to do? Increase in faith or get less in faith? What do you think? Increase. He wants you to get stronger in your faith. Amen? So why aren't we? Why aren't we earnestly trying to grow and get stronger in our faith? Don't just sit around and do nothing, because you'll get weaker and weaker in your faith. Here it says in verse 9, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost." See, he doesn't do it on his own. "Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief.'" See, that's what devils are. They're subtle, full of mischief. They just want to turn people away from God. You know what subtle means? It means that they're gentle in their dealings with you. It means they talk softly. It means they talk words that you like. They're not rough, and they're not like sometimes a preacher might be. Because the truth of the matter is sometimes we need to project it out so hard and so powerful that it'll get through the hard hearts of people. And sometimes you need a soft tongue that turns away wrath. Sometimes you need to really let people know that you're so serious. If somebody's going to drive off a cliff, you don't say, "Excuse me, you're going, I'm sorry." You do whatever you can. "Stop! Stop!" Because you care. But here, subtle devils, they will subtly lead you away. Then it says in verse 10, he said, "full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease," please say this word, "to" what? "To pervert the right ways of the Lord." See, devils won't take you totally out of church, and they won't take you out of the way of God. They'll just take you out of the right way. As long as they can just get you leaned out of the right way. Do you believe there's a right way? Then you must believe there's a wrong way. Do you think there's a lot of people that think they're doing the right, but they're doing wrong? Absolutely. Don't be one of them. The only way we know, Big Joe back there, the only way we know that we're doing right is it's got to line up with the Word of God. That's the only way we know, because there are tricksters out there, there are devils out there, there are unclean spirits out there that just want to pervert the Word of God. It's okay to drink a little. That's a perversion and a lie. It's okay to watch a little bit of this. It's a perversion and a lie. It's okay to just sit in a bar if I'm not drinking and hang with my friends. It's a perversion and a lie. It's okay to listen to country music. But I like country music. Yeah, so do I. But I don't listen to it. Well, it's okay to listen to oldies. I heard it through a grapevine. Yeah, I like it, but I don't listen to it. Why? It's nice. It's good. Because it'll pervert and draw you away from the truth of the Word of God. And the devils are subtle. The devils aren't stupid. They're not going to try to get you eat broccoli if you don't like broccoli. I love broccoli, by the way. They're not going to try to get you to listen to music that you don't like. They're going to tempt you with the things you do like. And you're going to be like, yeah, that's nice. That's good. I like it. And you know what I mean? Because you like it, you're going to make yourself self-righteous and find out a way you can fit it into your life. And I'm just telling you, that's a devil. That's how he works it. And so just so you know, okay? And it goes on, it says verse 11, and now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I just want you to realize that this is how the devils work. They're not pitchforks. They're not red devils with a long tail and horns. These are spirits that want to tempt you, spirits that want to lie to you, spirits that want to lead you away. Does that make any sense, anybody? What good would they be if they showed up as devils? What we read it in 2 Corinthians, it says, for we know that the devil shows up as an angel of light. So we have to be very careful. You might think you're serving God when you might be serving the devil. And anybody who does sorcery, anybody who does astrology, anyone who has those crystal things, anyone who does that prays to Mary, do you think Mary's up there saying, pray to me? You know what Mary's only command in the Bible was? Pointing to Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. That was her only command. Whatever he says, do it. Do you think praying to Mary, praying to a little cross, praying to a little piece of silver that has a picture of someone you don't even know on there, praying in the name of saints, that's all idolatry. And you have no idea what you're doing. Yet people all over the world think it's okay. I'm here to tell us right now that we need to get back on track. You know what Jesus said? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. So think about straight. We need to get on the straight path. That doesn't mean I'm not allowed to do this. You can do almost anything you want, but the wisdom and the knowledge and the love of Christ is going to constrain you to do what's right, and you're not going to want to do the others. The road to destruction is broad. Amen. And the straight and narrow doesn't mean it's tight and straight this way. It means it's only one way, and it's Jesus' way. And guess what? Jesus' way is awesome. I don't even think it's tight. I don't even think it's narrow. I used to think, oh, I got to do this, and I got to do that. It's not that at all. Once I'm in here and following him, I'm like, oh, man, I can do whatever I want over here. This is great. I can sing, and I can dance, and I can... Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hey, let's have a big dinner. Let's have a party. Let's sing and pray. Just, I can do anything I want. Just, I don't want to do anything that's evil. Evil's not good. Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 18. You ever hear the word liberty? It's the name of our church. Liberty. You know what great is when you're on a ship? My nephew Joe, he was a Marine, and he was told what to do. And they tell you what to do. They tell you when to go to bed. They tell you everything. But like got sailors on a ship, they're on a ship all this time. They finally land, and they say, okay, you're at liberty. And it's like, woo, I can go do what I want to do. That's great. And they go off, and usually they go out and get drunk and do something wrong. But they don't have to do that, okay? But what God has given us is liberty. You can go do what you want to do. And the thing is I don't want to do wrong. Do you? Really? Well, if you really want to do right, then what you need to do is find out what God says is right. Here, and just stay away from these evil spirits. Deuteronomy chapter 18, look in verse 10 with me, please. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through a fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, someone with charms, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. I don't really understand necromancy too much. I can look it up and get a definition, but it was a real thing. But you know what? One thing that I realize it is, and it's scary because I think we all do it in a little bit, it's talking to the dead. I know, it sounds, you know, I go to my mom's grave and, hey, mom, doing good. You know what I mean? We all do that. But this is serious stuff when you start to believe in your heart that the dead are listening. The dead aren't listening. Only God's listening and the devils are listening. So my point is we have to just be careful. No, you know what I do? I don't talk to my mom. I don't talk to our son. You know who I talk to? I talk to Jesus. This is what I say. I say, Lord, would you please call my mom and give her a hug for me? Let her know I love her. Call my son over and just let him know that we love him. Hold him in your arms. Tell him we're doing good. Tell him we're going to see him soon. Tell him we're doing everything he wants us to do, that she wants us to do. That's what I do. But so many people, they sit there and they weep and they cry and they mark their bodies for the dead. They put tattoos on them on dates when they're dead. The Bible condemns that. It says, don't do that. And we need to understand there's things that we feel like, I want to do that. And God says, no, that's not of me. It's not of God. Look what it says in verse 12. It says that for all that do these things are not so bad people. For all these do these things, they're nice people, they just don't know what they're doing. For all that do these things, they're going to be forgiven, it's okay. For all that do these things, they're an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God drove them out from before thee. Look, what about us? What should I do? Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord your God. I just want you to know that being perfect with God is not hard. It's not hard at all. It's just loving Jesus more than anything else and following him. If you're following Jesus, you just do what Jesus tells you to do. And guess what? Jesus is awesome. He's so good and kind and full of joy. Everything Jesus tells me to do is, it's a happy day. It's a good thing. It's joy and peace and excitement and passion and power. Following Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 35. I wrote in there, how to get rid of unclean spirits. You ready? I think we should know this. Genesis 35, verse 4. Then we're going to Exodus 32. And in Genesis 35, verse 4, it says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. See, the reason they did that is because they were all getting right with God. They were all doing things they ought not do. And then they finally came to a point where they said, you know what? We need to stop this foolishness. We need to follow the Lord. So they all gave Jacob broke off their earrings. And I'm not sure. I have to go back and study if it was just the women, but it was mostly the men. Because when men start wearing earrings, that just shows something going on inside of them. When men start wearing big jewelry and chains, it just shows there's something of vanity going on inside of them. That's all it shows. The Bible tells women not to get all braided up with giant braids and pearls all over, because it shows a vanity that you're trying to be and show people something. So when a man gets earrings in his ear. That's what girls do. Why are you doing that? Well, because I want to show everybody I'm cool. If you're cool, then why you got a big diamond in your ear? You ought to have a turd hanging from your ear. A dead frog or a skull. Something that shows you're manly. I know it's a joke, but it's seriously. I'm going to show them I'm manly, Joe. Well, why you got little diamonds in your ears, you little sissy girl? Put it something that looks like a man. You know, put a football on there or a dead body or something. You know, like, arr. I just don't get it. And then guys, in the old days, I'm back in the 70s. I know you guys are too young, but I grew up back in the 70s. And the people would, you know, staying alive. And they had the shoes. And they had the look. And they had the bell bottom. And then they had the big chains. And it was a whole persona of, yeah, I'm cool. Yep, baby. You know what I mean? It's like, that's when you do that, you're just trying to show people something that's going on inside your heart. And guess what? I see it, and God sees it. Problem is, we don't see it. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Exodus 32. Vanity. Say it with me. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Vanity. That's the problem. That's what we got to watch. Vain vanity. When it's about you, and you think, you know, I got to be cool, and I got to be this, and I got to be that. I'll tell you right now, and I'm going to say, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you need certain sneakers to be cool, you're not cool. If you need tattoos to be cool, you're not cool. If you need certain clothes, you need certain jewelry, you need certain pocketbooks, ladies, you're not. You don't need anything to be cool if you're cool. Can I get an amen? Guess what makes you cool? God makes you very cool. Amen? God. You know what he does? He makes you realize, I don't need any of that junk. It's all them trying to promote something and make me fall for it. And the problem is God's trying to promote something we don't fall for what he does. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Look at me in Exodus 32, verse 20. How do we get right with God and get rid of this? It says this in verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made. What did he do with it? He burned it in the fire, and he ground it to powder, and he strawed it upon the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. Woo, man. You know, they say you make your bed, you need to sleep in it, you know? You make your golden calf souffle, you got to eat it. You know, you make your golden calf milkshake, you better drink it. Because I'll tell you right now, what we need to do is, without joking around, is we need to clean house. And what happens is the Israelites, they got rid of their idols, they got rid of their earrings, they snapped them off, they hit and they buried them, amen, gone. Here, they messed up and they made a golden calf. What did he do? He smashed it, pounded it, ground it into powder, and he made them drink it. Like, get rid of it. You can't play around. And I'm not going to sit, I'm not the police. I'm just giving you scripture. And we're all going to have to go home at some time and look in our house and see what shouldn't be there. And I'm not talking about beer and wine and alcohol, which should never be there. I'm not talking about bad magazines and stuff or bad movies, which should never be there. I'm talking about little trinkets and things. Just go and check it out. And look in your house and ask God what pleases him and what he should and shouldn't have. I know we all have remnants of our old life. We carry those little idols with us. You know, they're not a big deal. It doesn't really mean anything. But we carry them with us, and that's what they did. And Jacob said, no, if we're going to go for God, we got to leave everything like that behind. And he went and buried it. Moses, he grounded it to powder. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, then we're going to Matthew 5. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. Are you there? It says, the graven images of their gods, you shall what? Burn them with fire. Graven images of their gods. Please listen to me. I know this is what I'm about to say is hard. Just bear with me. I want to be subtle. I want to be kind. I want to be gentle. I do. Because what I'm about to say is true, but it's going to be hard for some people. You know what your idol is? What the same thing I had is a crucifix. A crucifix is a graven image of Jesus, something in heaven, which the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image of anything that's in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth. You shall not bow thyself to them and pray to them. For the Lord your God's a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Generational curses come from idols. And I'm here to tell you, we need to get rid of them. People have them in their house still. People have pictures of Jesus. They have this. You can play around all you want, but he says right here, he said that we need to burn them, get rid of everything. It says, and the graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be a snared therein. See, that's what happens is the devil snares us. Little traps that we can't, you know what happens when you're in a trap or a devil snare, you ready? Is you don't know you're in a snare, but you can't go forward. He's got you in a snare, and you don't know it, and you just never grow. You never go forward, and you're kind of stuck. You're still worshiping God, doing all the same stuff, but you can't go forward because you're in a snare, and God wants you to see what the snare is, that know the truth, and get rid of it so you can move forward. And it could be something as simple as a crucifix or these things that God says no to. It says, that is on them, or take them today. It says, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall thou bring an abomination into the house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it. Why? For it, read it with me. For it is a, are you there? Verse 26, last verse, 26. For it is a, a cursed thing. That's the problem is so many of us have generational curses in our lives from our parents and hung down and we hang on to it. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll finish. I told you the devil's subtle. He's sneaky, amen? He's going to get you to think everything's fine and dandy and you're going to wonder why you can't truly grow and have the power of God in your life. Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30. You there? This is Jesus telling us, good, what should we do when to get right with God and get these things out of our life? First, you get them off of you, bury them, get rid of them, burn them, crush them. Don't love them, don't care about them, get rid of them. Amen? Look what he says here. He says, if your right eye offend thee, what should we do? Get rid of it. If you cast it from you, for it's profitable for thee that one of your members should perish, then not the whole body should cast into hell. And verse 30, and if your right hand offend you, what should we do? Cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish and not that thy whole body should go into hell. Our son Greg, when he got saved the first time, he was into really bad music. You know, like Black Sabbath and Metallica and all those like dark, heavy, head-banging, evil, evil music. And when he got saved, he went home and he got a trash bag and he threw out all his CDs. And it was like, that trash bag was big and full and heavy. It must have been thousands of dollars worth of music. And he threw it out in the trash. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Our son Michael in Paraguay, when he would lead in Paraguay, everyone's Catholic there. Very deep, street, curse. That's why they're a third world. That's why they're poor. Because everywhere that Catholicism goes, and it's the main ruling thing, it sucks the life out of everything around it. And it becomes poor. But here, people would go there, and I've never seen them do it in the U.S., Brother Dave. They'd get saved, they'd go get a sledgehammer, and smash the Statue of Mary in the front yard. I was like, yeah! That shows me something. They go out there and smash it to pieces. The Statue of Mary, I'd love to see some saved people do that. They still got them out there. You know, so I'm just letting you know that Jesus said, what should we do? Cut it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's a cursed thing. It might not be affecting you greatly, at least you think you're in a snare and you're just not able to move forward. Amen? All right, we'll pick it up next week, but I'm going to give you a minute or two, a couple minutes for a couple questions. We're going to talk about the angels, where these devils come from next week. Like, where'd they come from? There's devils, there's powers, there's principalities, there's rulers, spiritual wickedness, And then there's devils, there's unclean spirits. So we're going to look at the categories and see where they came from, because it's a very good read. Amen. So anybody got any questions about any of this stuff? That we got 5 minutes. You can ask a couple questions if you have any. Mary. There's no such thing as saved at angels. You're either with God or you're not with God. When you're with God, you're fine. Absolutely. And then they're not saved. They don't. How does a person get saved? Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus didn't die for angels. And the only way he could save an angel is if he died eternally, because they're eternal beings. We're not. We die. That's why he became a man, so he could die for us. Amen? And that way we can be forgiven. Angels cannot. Yes, Toby. By sinning against God, rebelling against God's authority and word. And when they rebel against God, God casts them out of his presence. You know why God does that? Because God cannot be in the presence of evil. He has to destroy it and get it out of his presence. That's why God can't be with us unless we're saved and we have Christ in us. Then he can dwell with us. Yes. The man filled with devils, 2,000 devils, legion. Exactly. Yeah, they want to get rid of him. Kind of what's happening now. They're going to kick Jesus out of the schools, kick them out. They want him out of everything. Amen. Amen. Anyone got a question about anything? Okay. Well, guess what? There's donuts out there and some coffee. Go have yourself a donut. Church will start in 10, 11, 12 minutes. Amen.